This is the Equip Podcast from Cornerstone Church of Ames, a podcast designed to help you live a gospel-fueled and faithful life wherever Jesus has called you.
Welcome again to the Equip Podcast from Cornerstone Church. My name is Mark Vance, and I'm hoping you're listening to this podcast in the midst of Resurrection Week, the week leading up to Easter of 2023. I'm so looking forward to Easter services here at Cornerstone. If you are listening to this, again, a reminder that we've got Good Friday services coming up at 6:30 p.m., and then Easter weekend is 6:30 on Saturday and on Sunday morning at our normal times of 8:45, 10:45. I'm looking forward to celebrating the resurrection with all of you. And so in anticipation of Easter week, I just thought it would be appropriate, timely, and helpful to do a little reflection on why the resurrection of Jesus is so central to the Christian faith. That the center of the Christian faith is the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's important not to leave that off. To only mention the cross but never mention the empty tomb is to truncate, to shorten, to make smaller than it really is the incredible message of Jesus. And honestly, what triggered this reflection was a process of shifting offices for me. So long story, but I'm shifting offices inside of kind of our office facility at Cornerstone. And part of that process is that I had to move all the books that were currently on my bookshelves over to the new bookshelves in the new office. So I'm moving kind of section by section through my books. And I have a fair bit of books in the category of kind of general theology. What I noticed was really interesting. As I was moving them, I had a whole chunk of books that were all about the cross. They were books like The Cross of Christ by John Stott, which, by the way, is marvelous. It is an unbelievable book. Everyone should read the book, The Cross of Christ by John Stott. So good. You know, The Doctrine of the Atonement, books on the atonement, on the cross, on substitution. So many books on that. I had almost no books on the resurrection. And I thought, maybe did I mess that up? Like, have I not bought enough? So I went and even just took a look on kind of Christian book sites and stuff like that. Here's what I found. There are way, 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 way more books written on the cross than have been written on the doctrine of the resurrection. Which is interesting because, yes, the cross is central in that without the cross, we have no atonement for sin. Like, if Christianity was only Jesus died and rose again, but he did not die on the cross in place of sinners, well, then we won't ever make it into the kingdom of God because our sins aren't paid for. So yes, we need the cross to offer payment for sin. But if all you had was the cross, well, then death wins, evil conquers, and we don't have an ultimate hope. So the illustration I have is, it's not just the cross that's the center of Christianity, it's the cross and the resurrection, and that when we separate the two unnecessarily, we're not quite doing justice to how centrally important Easter is to the Christian faith. So to help us think that through, just a little reflection for you on Easter week, I want to go to just a famous resurrection passage of 1 Corinthians 15 and remind you of the good news of the cross and the resurrection. I want to start where Paul starts. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, I want to make clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, some of whom have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one born at the wrong time, he also appeared to me. Now, just couple things that I want to point out from 1 Corinthians 15 as we reflect on the importance of the resurrection. The first is that when Paul starts this passage, he says, I delivered to you that which was most important. That there's something, while everything in the Bible, guys, is true, not everything in the Bible is equally important. All things can be equally true. Not everything is equally important, because Paul here says there's something of first importance, of highest or most importance that he delivered. What is of most importance? Well, here it is. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. The one that he died for our sins, that he died really, is proved by the fact he was buried in a tomb. He raised the third day is proved by the fact that he appeared to Cephas and the 12. So really, Paul is saying there are two things that are centrally important: that Christ died for our sins and that he was raised on the third day. If you want to know that he really died, well, he died on a cross and the Romans buried him. If you want to know that he was really raised, well, go look at the testimony. One, the central fact of the death of Christ on the cross is demonstrated by the tomb that he was put in. The central fact of the resurrection of Christ on the third day is demonstrated by the testimony of the eyewitnesses. You have an empty tomb and eyewitnesses that are testifying to the central facts of most importance, that Christ died for our sins and that he was raised. Okay, this is so important here, though. 1 Corinthians 15 does not say, I passed on to you what is most important, that Christ died for our sins. End of statement. Paul says, I passed on to you what is most important, that he died for our sins, and is the key word here, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Paul doesn't separate the cross and the resurrection like two distinct events. Instead, he always holds them together. So anytime Paul uses language about the cross, he has in mind the doctrine of the resurrection, that Jesus rose from the dead. Anytime Paul talks about the resurrection from the dead, he has in mind the atoning payment for sin work on the cross. The two are always held together in Paul's literature in the New Testament. And they're pointing out this central truth, that it is the cross and the empty tomb. It is the death and the resurrection of Jesus that are the center of Christian hope. In fact, if you look at 1 Corinthians 15, Paul goes on and expands on really particularly why the resurrection is so important. He's already clarified that Christ died on the cross for our sins in our place. But why is it that Easter morning, this doctrine of the resurrection is so central? Well, okay, a couple things to say on that. The first is to remind you what resurrection is. Remember, resurrection is not just someone being raised from the dead. So for instance, in John chapter 11, a passage we're going to look at on Easter morning at Cornerstone this Easter, John 11, Lazarus is raised from the dead. Technically speaking, Lazarus is not resurrected per se. When we use resurrection in a technical theological terminology way, we're not just talking about someone rising from the dead. Rather, in resurrection, we're talking about someone who died, who is raised to new life physically, never to die again. That's different than Lazarus. John 11, Lazarus was raised from the dead by Jesus, but Lazarus would later die a physical death. And he is now currently, Lazarus, his body has returned dust to dust, and he is awaiting the full and final resurrection of the dead at the final day. So resurrection is not actually simply a teaching that someone can be raised from the dead. Resurrection is a teaching that someone dies, okay? They leave, are absent from that physical body, and then one day they will be raised again to new life, never to die again at the final day of history. Resurrection isn't just life after death, okay? That would be you die and you go to be with the Lord. To be Paul's language, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Resurrection is absent from the body, present with the Lord. You die, go to life after death. And then at a later date when Jesus returns, he will raise back to physical and full life all who have died. That is resurrection. Resurrection is that you have died and you will be raised from the dead at the final day, never to die again. Now, that's what resurrection is. Why is all of that teaching so critical? Well, I'm going to use the teaching of 1 Corinthians 15 to make just a couple points. The first is that understanding what the resurrection looks like, that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again to physical life, never to die again, informs our hope of eternity. resurrection informs us of what we are to be expecting beyond this life, that what we're looking forward to is what happened to Jesus happening to all who believe in him. Here's the way Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. He says, "As it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits," remember that word, first fruits, "and afterward it is coming those who belong to Christ." So Jesus here is called the first fruits, that he's the first of many more to come. Okay, Jesus is the first physical person who died, was buried, and then rose to new life physically, and who will never die again. And it says that afterward, verse 23, at his coming, this same thing will happen to all who belong to Christ. So what is it that you're going to experience in the life to come? What will it be like? Well, we look back to the resurrection of Jesus that first Easter morning to inform our forward look to the future of our hope. What happened to Jesus, the first fruits, will happen to the remainder of the harvest at the end of time. When Christ returns at his coming, he will raise to new life all who have died. And in that resurrection body, it'll be a perfect body. We who have died in Christ will be raised to a new life, never to die again. That's what resurrection is. That's so important. Friends, our hope is that not that people will die. Like, this is kind of the "It's a Wonderful Life" version of, you know, the hope of eternity that many people have in their heads, that somehow we die and then we kind of become angelic. Like, you kind of go up there, you're going to get your wings if you do a good thing. The "It's a Wonderful Life" vision of eternity, that we get wings and we float around and we play, you know, on harps and we're on clouds forever and ever, the end. That is not a biblical picture. The biblical picture is we die, we are absent from the body and present with the Lord in a temporary sort of state physically, looking forward to, longing for the ultimate day when Jesus returns and we are raised with Jesus to full and free physical life in an incorruptible but physical body, never to die again. That is our hope. That's what we're looking forward to. The resurrection of Jesus was the first of much more to come. So the resurrection is so critical because it tells us what is actually going to happen in the future to all who believe in Jesus. Second reason the resurrection is so critical: the resurrection holds us in our grief. 1 Corinthians 15:20, "As it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." The first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. That word, fallen asleep, that's the same way, by the way, Jesus talks about Lazarus in John 11. When they come to him and they say, "Lazarus is sick, he's dead," Jesus says, "Oh, he's just fallen asleep. We need to go wake him." That's a picture the Bible often uses for those who have died and gone to be with the Lord. Because for the Christian, it's actually not death to die. You've fallen asleep, but you'll wake up again. That holds us in our grief. If you know someone, by the way, this Easter Sunday, who's lost someone dear to them, maybe this is the first Easter that they've worshiped without their loved one next to them physically in this life, just know that for that individual, this will be a really powerful and sad and happy and poignant Easter Sunday. They will need Easter in a new way, because the message of Easter says, this person that I loved and have lost, I just said goodbye temporarily. I'm going to see him again, and they're going to be fully alive again, because that doctrine of the resurrection tells us that there's hope, not just hope for me, but hope for my loved one who knew Jesus and went to be with him. For all who have fallen asleep will come back to life. The resurrection holds you in your grief. Oh, this is such good news for people who are hurting, for people who have lost, that it's temporary. It's not death to die. It's goodbye for a moment. Then final reason why the resurrection is so critical this Easter, the resurrection can make you fearless in life. Let me jump you to the very end of 1 Corinthians 15. Paul does all this teaching about what the resurrection body will be like and how it's not corruptible and it'll be raised in glory and in power. It's a body, but a spiritual body. It'll be incredibly powerful. And after teaching all of that, about all of this, here's how Paul wraps up the chapter. He says this, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where death is your victory, where death is your sting. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Okay, why do we know that what we do in the Lord is not in vain? Well, Paul's point, logically, is because of the resurrection. If we worked our whole life and we tried to do good work, but we were just going to die and that work was all done and who cares what happened? Well, then you could say perhaps my life's work was in vain. It doesn't count for anything. It doesn't continue forward. But what Paul's saying is because one day we will be raised to new life, it means all the good that we did in this life isn't empty. Because the resurrection is true, one day we will be raised, and therefore, because the resurrection is going to happen, because I know the end of the story, because I know that I will triumph in Jesus, don't give up. Keep doing what's good. Go forward on that new thing for the Lord. Live with all your heart. The resurrection makes you fearless in life. Because you know the worst thing that could possibly happen. I was doing this exercise with a student the other day, and we were talking, and they were afraid of an upcoming decision. I said, okay, let's just imagine the worst thing that could happen with this decision. And it was a decision about their career. They said, well, the worst thing that could happen is I would make a horrible decision. I'd choose a terrible career path. It would be just like disastrous, and I would hate it. All other career paths would close in the future. I'd never get anything of joy in my chosen major, and I would just have made a horrible train wreck of my life. Now, to be honest, guys, I thought that was a little bit catastrophic when the person was talking. I'm like, I don't really know that it'll be that bad, but okay, whatever. Let's say that is true, though. That happens. The worst possible scenario happens. I said, well, what happens after that? And they're like, well, I mean, I live a kind of fruitless, kind of difficult life, and then I die. And I'm like, oh yeah, but what happens after that? They're like, well, I go to be with the Lord. I'm like, what happens after that? Well, one day I'm raised to new life. Okay, so just think about that. If the worst thing that could possibly happen happened, you still have the hope of the resurrection. So let's say you try something, friends, in your life, and it doesn't go the way you want. You still have the hope of the resurrection. You still have the new life to come in Christ. So be steadfast, immovable. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't give up on things that are hard when they're done in the Lord. That labor will be rewarded because this life is not the only life, because there is a resurrection to come. Therefore, keep going even when the going gets tough. It makes you fearless. It makes you powerful. It makes you have the stamina and the grit to keep going because the resurrection is true. Okay, end of this reflection is just simply to remind you. This Easter morning, you are celebrating that which is the center of the Christian faith. It's not just the cross, it's the cross and the resurrection. Those two together, in the cross, the death of Christ that pays the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and the resurrection, where Jesus declares through his resurrection that he is victorious over sin and death and hell, and that one day every person who trusts in him, just like he was raised, he will raise them up on the final day. Oh, friends, that is such good news. That's what Easter morning, that's what Christianity is all about. I want us to always celebrate the mighty cross of Jesus Christ, to be so thankful for the atoning work of Jesus. But always when you think of the cross, move to the resurrection It's the cross and the resurrection. Paul came and he said, I want to tell you again what is of first importance. I want to remind you in this podcast of what is of first, of most importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Since he died, he was buried. And not only that he died, but that he was raised from the dead on the third day according to the scriptures. Friends, this is good news. It's the center of our hope. I hope you have an incredible Easter weekend this year, worshiping the risen, resurrected, and reigning Christ, looking forward to the day when he returns, and all who have fallen asleep in him will raise with him. Look forward to that hope, friends, and rejoice in it this Easter morning.